Nate Voss.
Donovan Beery.
Yo.
Today we got Steve Gordon, and we're going to talk a little bit about freelancing.
We're going to talk about kinds of the first thing we're going to talk about today. Steve, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good to be back.
Who's your G.I. Joe today?
Today I am rolling with the Baroness, her limo driver, and the Hiss vehicle.
Yeah, okay. So, Donovan, tell everybody what's going on in your office today.
All the G.I. Joes pulled out of the attic. They're in the office.
Now, when you say all the G.I. Joes, I don't think that most people are going to understand that you're talking about, like almost all the G.I. Joes
Were in the series.
No, from, like, just the first 82 to 86 guys.
That's what counts, dude. That, you're talking about a four-year span.
Yeah, there's maybe, like, 100 guys sitting around here in, like, I don't know, four
there
vehicles.
There may well be a greater number than 100. And, like, you got the bridge layer. You got the base. You got the hovercraft I didn't even know existed.
We've each got a guy here. I've got a Flash with the jump jetpack.
Yeah, now, I don't really recall Flash. I am rocking Duke and his main squeeb. Careful, dude. You're going to knock her over. She's not on there good. Scarlet.
Yeah Scarlet.
Everyone knows.
My guy's taking off.
We were talking about this.
Got no gun, though.
Just before the show, Scarlet was tagging Duke. Lady J was tagging Flint. Baroness was tagging Destro.
Who wouldn't? He had a chrome dome.
And
awesome.
Steve and I were both befuddled slightly earlier by this sort of discovery that Destro was apparently not black.
Yeah, I thought Destro was black.
Eastern European.
But if you watch the cartoon, Destro is black, and that's how he's pulling the Baroness. Once you go Destro, you don't go back.
He's got scales.
Yeah. So I walked into Donovan's office today, and it's just like G.I. Joe paradise, but not like new G.I. Joe paradise.
Like classic, like, I had those G.I. Joe
paradise. And beaten to crap.
I love it, dude. I used to trade up for these guys. I remember I got Destro, and I think I had to trade the Laser Trooper, I kept Wild Weasel. But I definitely had to trade the Laser Trooper. The fluorescent green outfit.
And like a cheese sandwich.
So today, we're not talking about design.
Or like two reps on the Nintendo. Like, okay, you get one of my men in Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. Nice. We're not really going to talk about design today. We're just going to talk about Donovan's sweet-ass G.I. Joes.
It was a place of creativity that brought us to where we are today.
We played just the tiniest bit. There was what I told Donovan. I was, like, driving this little mini tank around.
turns out the nerd never leaves.
Dude, I'm still enamored here looking at the Hiss at why things are... Why don't we have flying cars? We have awesome tanks like the Hiss.
I mean, my guy's got a jump... He's got a jetpack. They had these in Super Bowl I.
The Baroness has
naughty
glasses.
They had those in James Bond.
I figured
in
the year 2000 I would have a jetpack.
And the Baroness has naughty glasses. I figured by now, you know.
There is a new movie coming out.
Naughty glasses and a laser gun.
Next year, we told you about.
Tina Fey could be the Baroness.
I was just going to bring up that Sienna Miller, who is only famous really for pulling out her boobs, she's going to be the Baroness, and her with snake eyes seem to be the only two things going right. Snake eyes... being played by Darth Maul.
But of course it is.
Yeah, it's the only guy that can do it, really.
Of course.
All right, let's do a show proper, I guess.
Let's do about freelancing.
Let's kick it off.
Well, let's explain why we're talking freelancing. Steve's got an announcement here.
That's what I want to talk about. Steve, tell us, man.
Finally.
Quit leaving us in suspense.
I have been leaving you boys hanging. But officially, I do indeed have a book out. Or coming out. Not out yet. It will be out May.
You can pre-order it on Amazon already.
I think so. I do believe so.
Who's publishing?
The publisher is Rockport Publishers.
So you know it's legit?
True. Wow. Legit True. Book.
Yeah, legit book. I was really stunned and proud.
Not being published by Swanson Russell. Sorry. Okay. Being published by Rockport. It is. There's already an Amazon page, you said.
Yes, there is. I was sent the link by Jeff Fisher, noted identity designer out of the Upper Northwest.
I think Jeff Fisher keeps popping up on my Facebook. You should be friends with this guy.
Yeah, because I think
he's in our Facebook group.
Yeah, he's actually.
Well, maybe I am friends with him. If not, Jeff, I'll totally take care of that.
Yeah.
He
sent me the link and said he thought I'd be... he actually tweeted me the link on Twitter and said he thought that I might laugh at that. And I was like, oh, what is it? And I opened it up and it was... my cover design of my book on Amazon, and I promptly called my mom, and we both shed a few tears together.
Nice, dude. Now, cool. Hit us officially with the title.
The title is 100 Habits for Successful Freelance Designers.
Nice.
Or freelance graphic designers.
They're, yeah, exact. The subtitles get really long.
Yeah, they do.
they get kind of drawn out. That was explained to us. Was that Debbie or was that Stephen Heller?
I don't remember.
I think it was Heller said that like and, all subtitles are now like search engine optimized subtitles.
Yeah, and now especially when they're in a series. This is one of a series.
Oh, it is. Tell us about that.
The 100 Habits series goes through publication design, graphic design, freelance graphic design, publication design. It's a whole series that Rockport is trying to put together to be overlapping but specific to the actual type of work you do.
Webcomic publishing, graphic design, blog design.
That's where
we should get on that.
Oh,
should
write them a letter. You know, if they come up with that title, maybe they could talk to us.
It would be sweet.
Well, but take it. Let's because I know that there's a sort of a ramp up, and we don't want to go into all of it, but we want to like have an extended tease.
Yeah,
that's something you can relate to.
This title was given to you, right?
Right. The title was given because it was a part of the. Well, actually, I'll explain how it came to be. Maybe that's a good way to.
Let's tell the story, man. Do it. I will listen because I don't really know it.
The way that it happened, I was actually in my car coming from a meeting. I got a call from a contact at Rockport who said they had an idea for a book, and I'm thinking they wanted my help finding someone else to do the book. But apparently this person's manager or work counterpart was in my very first session at Howe and loved the way that
nice.
Yeah, so props to Howe and Bryn and Heather and the whole staff, Sarah and everybody. This opportunity actually came out of that. And I was scared to death, but would have been foolish to turn it down.
Yeah, it's one of those things you're like maybe I should think about this. Could I do it? And then you realize the other part of your brain comes up and says, stop thinking about it. Just say yes and figure it out later.
Yeah, like no was the proper answer at the time, but I had already said yes as I was filling up my car on my cell phone, very unsafe. Like, I don't know what to... Yes, I hung up and was like, oh, crap, like, what did I just do?
Now you gotta write a whole book.
Yeah.
In your head, you're like, the answer to this question is obviously yes, even though everything else in my mind is telling me no.
Like, for all of the confidence we have to have in ourselves because we do something very personal and we turn it over to the public domain, we have to kind of be our own biggest fans, but for all of that, all of us get kind of backpedally scared, you know?
Like,
no, I don't, I shouldn't be doing this just yet. You know, I want it, but I don't deserve it just yet. So I was really freaked out about it.
Well, and I mean, it's also, I think, pretty valid to say that, you know, a skill set that you have for being a good graphic designer does not necessarily translate to anything close to a skill set that you need to be a successful author.
Right.
I mean, it's really two different fields.
It is. And luckily, it was a choice that I had to make early on in college. I almost went into the literary field. There was a kind of a bidding war between two counselors to get me into the fine art college or the lit.
Both smoking hot chicks.
I cannot lie.
Was the bidding war to get you in the other department and away from theirs, or was it
never
actually?
Is. You're okay. Thinking about you.
That's okay.
You're not thinking
those
about
are the
Steve.
That's what I had to deal with.
See, mine was actually I was really big into creative writing and you know poetry and lit and all of that, and I not that I wanted to be an author, but I really loved to write. I didn't know what I wanted to do with it yet. But my instructors seemed to think that they could point that in the right direction.
Nice.
So I almost made that choice. And I even do a little copywriting now and some things like that. But never.
You do? You had something on the AIJ side, I think.
Yeah.
Right, on voice?
Yeah.
Is it voice? I don't go there all the time.
It was actually a special section that Petrula Veronicus from...
Love Petrula.
Yeah, she's awesome. And she contacted me. And I was able to do a little bit of writing, and here or there on the web, some of my rantings and ravings can be found.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's out there.
It's floating in the ether.
So how much can you tell us if you want to tell us now, or like if you don't things that you don't tell us, we're just gonna like drag you back here later, like maybe on like release day.
For more ramp
maybe
up.
We can have a release day like live podcast.
Now for
like Steve.
For disclosure, I do have a couple tips that I wrote and I'm sure were edited heavily.
Yeah.
That are in there.
Yeah.
And I, for full disclosure, totally blew the deadline and didn't really finish it because I was going through some heavy mess. Because I'll go ahead and say like Steve sent out. Like, guys, I got this book deal. you know, we're looking for submissions, so fill this out and send it in. I'm like, sweet, I just got...
And that's, well, that's the other part
that
of
this. That was right after, like, I got canned.
Right.
And so I was dealing with, like, remember, other crazy mess, and I was like, I want to do this, but I can't.
And that's part of this. It's not just you. It's you went down, and you had a support group kind of helping out with things.
And that's the very cool part is it's not just me. I did all of the chapter intros. I did the foreword and a lot of the writing that introduces the habits from other designers. The cool part is I did have help from others to be able to kind of compile this information. The other cool part of that is it's not a vast group. These names repeat, and they're listed in the front. I don't know if I even told you this.
Oh, no. We haven't even seen this thing.
They're listed in the front of the book as the experts. So it's a repeating...
Donovan Beery, expert.
Yes, expert.
Wow, that's like...
That's kind of what I say to myself in the mirror every morning.
That's the verification we've been looking for 3 years now, man.
Yeah.
And I didn't get in because
It's a repeating list, so you're not getting these one-off habits from random designers. It was a really closely looked at list of people, and it repeats through the book, so the names come up again.
How many names are on that list?
There's a total of around 20, and they're international. So
and you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and say we're not gonna drop names today. Maybe that can be a part of the later, more drawn out. We'll like, let's not. There's a list of 20, and they're experts.
Now, what did we know? Learn? Donovan Beery is on that list. Putting this thing together. Did you learn things from the tips, learn things from writing?
The whole process, the tips, everything. I mean, I constantly read through the information because I have to do the edits and the re-edits. But I learned a lot by way of habits, things that I'm already doing that other people are doing differently. But the cool thing about it is, not only the intro style that I wanted to write it in, I wanted it to be in my voice and the voice of others, but I wanted it to be more of a manual, more of a pull this off the shelf and actually see how other people are working. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want the same tried and true habits that they could get in any other book. It's different. Partially because, and you know this, Donovan, how I worded the initial questions to the people to be included. Right. So they were worded in such a way that the information I was getting back to start compiling was just different by nature, you know, so it wasn't the same old stuff that you can get from any other book that was out.
And I tried to go off of the, because some of them looked easy, and I was like, I'll skip those because I'm sure someone else
will. Yeah, props to you. You picked the hard ones. You were like, okay, you're going to get tons of these. I'll jump to this one.
See, that's my advice. That's not in the book, because you hedge your bets. You figure out, well, if I got to fill out this questionnaire and other people are filling out the same one, they're going to pick out what he thinks is the best. Why don't I pick out the ones I know no one else is going to tackle?
Right.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a decent way to get included.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's the gist of it so far. It was fun writing it, and from the standpoint of I really went to bat for my own voice, not because it's me, but because I know a lot of others who think like me, and like you guys included. You know, it's not your typical design book that's gonna, you know, just drone on the same information. I wanted it to be different.
Now, can you give us any like tidbit of like one of the tips that caught you off guard, or something that maybe you didn't think of before, or that you've already incorporated into your own
anything
work?
Anything that you read that you read and you went, oh hell, I've been doing it wrong.
You know, let's see.
Or maybe you read and you're like, oh, I guess they're doing it wrong. Yeah, I mean, that could be the other way.
You know what? I remember. Dude,
that's really how that guy does that? Oh.
Let's see if I can remember any. There was one in particular that was really, really smart, and being so specific to our jobs and what we do. As graphic designers, we often turn work over to print shops. The print managers do all of the setup and that sort of stuff. And I'm not advocating that we do our own trapping and that sort of thing. But if you, for instance, don't fight Kinko's or your local digital place.
Right.
If you're going to go have something printed there and you know that you're doing the page setup, say you have business cards or something you're going to cut out by hand, work your sheet. You know, get more out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Get more out of your sheet. You know, if you have to physically pull that image and then you angle it on this corner and you put a row of 10 down and 3 over and work your own quote-unquote press sheet if you have that under your control.
And it's never a bad deal to even ask the printer, like, hey, exactly what size of sheet are you doing here and how far can I push that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that goes for any, like, that goes for, like, non-Kinko's printers.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah, it's anybody. Yeah,
I want to drop a Kinko's note in.
I mean, I did a piece for a company, and the postcards were coming out, and they're like, oh, the budget's getting low. So I'm like, well, wait a minute. We've just been doing this size of postcard because I think the boss just said, hey, let's do a postcard that was, you know, 9x6 or something. Yeah. So I called the printer up and start talking. I'm like, they're going digital press. And then they're like, oh, you mean if I cut these to 8.5x5.5, you can print 2 on a sheet, and all of a sudden the cost is half the price? Great. Yeah.
Or I had a digital printer that offered to do a personal set of business cards on another job that was being run because there was enough gap left at the bottom of the press sheet. And he goes, is there anything else you want printed? I can shove it in here. And my odd size of business card fit. So I got to run a card for free out of the deal.
You know what? I do not think that I have a Steve Gordon business card.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, man, babe, did you bring any over?
I have to get you one. I don't have any with me.
I'm slacking. I gotta say,
I'm
here.
Get some new ones.
I not only have one. It's in my file, my folder that I bring to class when I show them how to do like business cards. It made the cut right there next to Joe Duffy's.
It's good to know that the kids.
It's in the same cut as Joe Duffy's. Metal card.
It sure is.
So you don't have one because I know that Ridiculous had a little rebranding.
Yeah, we did. And the cards do look like that.
Okay, nice, nice. Yeah.
I don't have one of those.
The first batch was handmade because I'm looking at getting them done digitally, and I wanna tweak a few things. But I do make a lot of them. I print them and cut them by hand.
Yeah, when I was gonna say something I just remembered that I did this year was like a graduation announcement for my you know little cousin. It's like not the kind of thing that as a professional designer you put a lot of like, oh, I'm gonna put this in my book and this is gonna be something. But they wanted to run them at Kinko's, and I knew that the way the Kinko's printer works is, you know, that if I'm running on this paper. In full color, they're going to run it on this printer, and that printer lays down the ink like in little sheets so that it actually raises up a little bit. Yeah. And I did a super black effect where I had, you know, one part of the black had, you know, cyan, magenta, and yellow in it. And so that built up, and then I had just flat black, and you couldn't even see it on the PDF.
You brought those in to trim down, right?
Yeah, I brought those here to trim down.
Because when I saw them, and once they were trimmed down, it was like... Like these were printed at Kinko's.
Because I put a tight little pattern back in the background of it, and it worked really well. But it's like that idea of, you know, you can work Kinko's. If you're on your own, like,
well, even like if you, because that would take embossing. Laser printer, you have to know what prints well, what doesn't print well.
Well, and see, that's the kind of thing that I wanted all this to spark. Is it might not make the book, but I wanted that dialogue to happen. The sort of off the beaten path stuff, like you said, for laser printers. When I worked in house at an architecture firm here in town, HDR, we did printing. They got a big machine for the floor. And we found out that, A, you could run a McCoy silk.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That McCoy paper's nice. I haven't even looked at a McCoy sheet in a long time, but it was always nice.
And it's beautiful. And you could run it through a Xerox machine. And the toner was heat set. So when it was set down on paper, it always looked like it was varnished.
Nice. Yeah.
And the sheet was dull. And it was amazing because... You got the effect just off of a floor Xerox.
Yeah, just knowing how to like just work that crap. Yeah. And I, you know, the first guy that I ever saw do anything like that was Sheridan Green, who works at CSA. Yeah. He was on the old show. He's one of our early guests. Him and Giovanni, and who I named properly. Man, if you guys are listening, I did that not even on purpose. I always call him his brother's name, and I always call his brother his name. For no reason whatsoever, but it was like in a school project, and he did the first like super black. Like I'm gonna work the printer on.
Yeah,
this.
The wrist black is dope.
And it was beautiful.
You know what? Maybe that's the student tip. Remind me at the end.
Oh,
student
okay.
tip. Work your tools. Work the medium that you're printing in.
Don't, F it. Yeah, I think that whole conversation right here was.
And this
the
book isn't
tip.
Just for freelance designers.
Oh
I
no, no, no. It gives a lot of good tips just for any designer to have. Because most of the people in the book started out independent, not independent, but in-house for other studios. Right.
But it's going to be the most helpful, obviously, for freelancers, but it's going to have some stuff.
I think
that
so.
Be...
I think it'll actually,
I'm going to get the hell out
I think
of this
it'll
book.
Be a, I think it'll be a big help for those.
I'm a freelancer. I can't wait.
And yeah. now part
and
of,
they're
now,
set up in chapters.
Now,
so,
one of the things
honestly,
you said, and this is part of the reason he invited me in, he said that it's not just freelancers. It's some also small shops, like one, two-man shops.
Yeah, for instance, yourself, Honest Brothers, Eric Hines and Ryan Lee out of Denver, Colorado. Amazing designers with some really, really interesting information between themselves also.
Eric Hines used to be of Pure.
Yes.
No longer.
No longer of Pure.
What happened there?
He is solo now.
Well, whatever, dude. Yeah. Fine.
I
remember
you know
that because dude was on like one of the things you sent us back from the How conference
yeah.
a couple years
yeah,
ago, and that's how I know
yeah,
that
he was
name.
One of,
dude
he was one
found
of my,
out
one of my
Steve
guys.
Was writing a book for freelance designers. Says I want in. I'm just going to quit my job and go freelance just to help out Steve's
yeah.
book.
I did the same thing.
That's
I said
happened.
I'm going to show up to work today and get fired so that I can be in Steve's book, and then I didn't even do it. So
props to E too, because he just took me snowboarding out in Breckenridge this past week, and I got my butt kicked up and down the slopes, but it was fun, full on stoke. What up, E?
Nice. So 100 habits of successful graphic.
Yes,
you do it.
100 habits of successful freelance graphic designers.
Available.
May 09, and I do believe, as we said, you can at least get a look at it and perhaps pre-order on Amazon.
May, okay, now I thought that it was February, but let's as soon as possible drop that countdown timer onto the 36-point homepage.
Yeah, we'll go like 3 months out.
Yeah, okay, from 3 months out, we'll just check Amazon, go with that, and then we'll just start it ticking down. Sweet. We'll get like a photo of Steve on there checking his watch, like.
yeah.
Soon,
appreciate
soon.
It,
tick
fellas.
Tick tock, tick
and
tock.
And until then, you can go to starting on December 8th. You can go to our.
Oh, hey, let me set this up properly. Right. I know where you're going. Okay, so Steve, did you know you? I'm looking around for it. Where's
It's in the other room.
Okay, the Chip Kid poster done by Nicole Blau and our own Donovan Berry.
I helped with the art direction. Nicole did a fantastic work on the design.
Yeah, I like to call it Nicole's poster, but I know that you were involved.
I was involved at the beginning. She actually did all the design. I just helped with the art direction.
Yeah.
Wait, that's a good-looking poster. Actually, I have one. You guys gave me one.
Yeah, okay. Now, that poster has not... Well, okay, it is not good enough to get into the Step 100. We know that. That poster actually sucks. Except that it is good enough to get into the nominees for the Step 100 Reader's Choice.
It made runner-up status.
Which is, which is a runner-up.
Well, then that's all that matters.
Yeah.
What the people want.
Right.
So, to our audience, beginning December 8th, running through January 12th, if you go to stepinsidedesign.com, you will be able to vote for Nicole and Donovan's Chip Kid poster. What's the title?
It'll probably just be called like Chip Kid a lecture or poster. I don't think they put our names on it. It's yellow and red.
Nice. It's yellow. It'll be the big giant
Nicole
Chip
calls
Kid's
it the,
head.
Ketchup and mustard.
Yeah, it does.
Scheme.
It looks like a burger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A big old Chip Kid burger.
It's hot. Go
or
get
perhaps
one.
Perhaps
be really
Chip
jealous.
Kid sandwich.
Be really
and,
jealous.
And if you don't vote for it, we're going to Facebook spam you all.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a cue from the DO and just Facebook spam everybody. No, we're not.
Yeah.
But here's what we are going to do. We are going to talk about this on the show. And like, I want to see like some serious illicit behavior on the part of our listeners here. We are like our mission to prove that this podcast has some weight is we are going to get that goddamn poster into Step. So if
and
you're
that
listening,
the people's voices mean way more than the judges.
And if it doesn't, then I'll just cut out a picture of it and like tape it in a copy and tell Nate that it got in.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, this is what I want to see happen. Here's the plan. You're listening. You got a computer, obviously, because you're listening. Go to Step Inside Design and vote for this poster. If you're a student, you work in a computer lab, go to every computer in the computer lab and vote for it. Because I'm sure they got like some IP, like you can only vote once thing.
Yeah, they need
you. Go to every computer and vote for it.
Ends up that Step has like CIA technology.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or you don't need CIA technology.
Wow.
That's just the way voting works. Oh. So you go to... You're just doing that for the show. You know. You're just pretending. So there's two computers
here. Well, it's all these G.I. Joes around here. It's got me thinking like high-tech military.
Right. The Baroness has her laser guns pointed
at
me.
There's
Take
two computers
that how
here.
You
vote for it from both computers. You got, like, there's a PC at my in-law's house. You vote from it from your parents' house.
Unique IP.
Anyway, you go to an internet cafe, you vote for it from that computer.
You have an iPhone,
like,
vote from your iPhone and computer.
Steve, I'm so glad you're here. This is how,
yes.
And this is how we're going to yes. do it. So if you're listening, you mark your calendar. You go into iCal right now. You mark December 8th, vote, Step Inside Design for Nicole Blau and Donovan Berry's Chip Kid poster.
Do it, mothers.
We are getting this poster into Step Magazine. And okay. Yeah, and that's how we're going to... I totally want to see us abuse the system because that's the way all of these People's Choice Award things work now. And we are gonna work the hell out of it.
That's how Pauly Shore keeps
winning things. Yeah. He's got a piece, I think, in the runner-up also. Now, see, I'm pretending.
Now, right. If there's a Pauly Shore poster, vote for it, just not as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, give it some love.
Well, and the thing is, I think they probably only give you one vote. We don't know, because it's not open yet. Now, let's move on. Now, that's... You will hear us talk about that again, but we will try not to pull a National Design Award and send you 90 emails, but thanks for listening.
The next time I'm on, you will have gotten in, so I'm going to say congratulations right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you for totally jinxing us and making... Okay.
Wait, knock on it then.
Next Done. Item, we're going to throw out there a similar thing for our amazing audience who, every time we put something out there, like, hey, answer this question, we get it back, people answer. So thank you for that. Now, if anybody used to listen to the old Be a Design Cast, which is a show we used to do.
I used to listen.
We used to do something called
Steve
The Holiday.
Was on like a third of them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, once we got... Yeah, well, and that's the way we do it now. It's like, oh, can we have Steve? Oh, we can't have Steve. Who can we get? Oh, okay, we'll have this guy.
I'm always in for it.
No, I'm just kidding, Adam. Okay. We used to do the holiday. Sorry,
hi, Adam.
Dude. I'm just Adam. Would you like to be on the next show?
If you send us an email, Adam, we'll
send,
get you in.
Send me an IM and say yes, I'll be on the next show. You dickwad. We used to do the holiday design review, but it would just be like stuff that Donovan and Tom and I would find. Like
I think Taco John's
won just because you guys wanted to be feisty.
Nice.
We're gonna do the holiday design review again through the month of December, which I guess will be one or two more shows. We'll do the holiday design review.
Probably one, because you never know.
Let's do it. We'll do another show, but it'll just probably air first week of January. So this is what I want you to do. This is gonna be based on what our listeners send us. So you drop a comment on a 36 point. It can be on this podcast. It can be anywhere. We'll see it.
Or you can just send us emails.
It's on the contact page. And say, hey, I want you guys to talk about Starbucks holiday this year.
If you have a link to something, that would help us out.
Yeah, links always help. Or like, hey, I saw this crazy thing at the shop and I took a picture of it, and send us a link to that photo. And we will talk about that over the next two shows. So it's an entirely listener-driven student design review. If we get no submissions, we would just say epic fail and move on.
No, don't even count that. Just send the stuff, peeps. Okay?
Yeah, as Steve says, send it.
Just send it. You know you wanna.
I feel like we got a solid show here, Donovan. I think we're going to drop out a couple CD reviews.
We did.
Oh, let's do it.
Oh, okay.
Or no, we're actually dropping LP reviews, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to do an LP, and then I want to do a CD review and just a real quick preview.
Yeah, we're all vinyl here at the 1119 corporate office. Yeah.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is. No, so, check it. It's over here and it's old. Yeah.
What if I have CD turntables that act like vinyl?
Well, I got the new.
No,
I got the new.
You know what? Honestly, no.
Nate wanted to review this. He wanted to review the new Guns N' Roses Chinese Democracy, which I Best Buy only I ordered.
Nice.
So I get the vinyl.
That's props though. Props
and it's I mean, in terms of like, here's the thing: is like, the new Metallica CD had way better packaging than the vinyl. And the vinyl used to be like, if you hear Paula Scheer talk, vinyl used to be where album design was at, and now vinyl is kind of the afterthought. We're not talking about the design. Donovan, what do you think of Chinese Democracy, 15 years in the making?
Well, I think I'm going to have to wait 15 years to get my review. I think it's only fair. I think I need to return the props.
That's me slapping my knee. Yeah. I got to be honest with you. I liked it more than I thought that I would.
It's amazing that you could come up. I mean, I ordered it figuring it was going to be a big train wreck because you've got an album that was recorded over a 15-year period in 20 different studios with 20 different musicians. It all rotated through except for Axl.
It almost seemed like overkill to do, like they were doing that on purpose.
He's recorded like 70 songs and somehow
doing it
released
because
14
effing
of them.
Crazy.
Yeah, he
and he had
mess.
13 million or whatever plus to do it.
Yeah.
But overall, I enjoyed it.
I did
and it was
notice
much more
like
coherent
some of these,
than I assumed.
You can pick out like. Number one, I like the first half better than the slower, more ballad-heavy second half.
It goes back to the old Guns N' Roses, like all guns on one side.
No, it never goes back. It never goes back. But there was like one. It's what you told me is the track that's also in Rock Band 2, which I have yet to
Shackler's Revenge.
What I have yet to unlock.
The vocals on that one were heavy.
When I
like just the recording of them.
Yeah, when I listen to that. I was like, and we were working earlier, you know, working on things, and that track came on. I was like, yeah, I'm kind of digging this. This reminds me of when I watched The Matrix 10 years ago. Like, that's got to be where the genesis of that song came from. It is like Neo and Smith should have been fighting while that track is on, because it is that kind of music. And that's one thing that I did hear is that you can kind of pick out over the last 15 years what were Axl Rose's musical influences.
Crazy.
But overall, I have to say, not as bad as I was expecting it to be. Next week, we'll probably review Britney Spears' comeback album, which we wish was 15 years in the making.
I won't be here.
Yeah, sadly, Steve's going to miss that one.
Whoa, don't say that. Adam's not going to want on now.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Adam. It's going to be great.
Are you kidding me? Adam, do you have Circus? You know you
Yeah, you
do.
Know you ordered it. It came
you
the
know
day.
You have it on vinyl.
It came the day after CS4 showed up.
Now, Steve, what was the album you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, you were going to drop. Strangely
attached to the Guns N' Roses release, they jumped the Kanye West release by a day.
But the Kanye West release
was strange because it was unlike anything else he'd ever done, and I'm not a huge Kanye fan as a person, but I dig his beat making a little bit, and 808s and Heartbreak is a unique listen. I hate the auto-tune thing for people who can't sing to sing into a computer and have it come out like
a
robot.
Is that what dude does?
I like how you...
Yeah, because that's what Britney does, and it sounds like a computer. Sounds like a transformer.
I think it's great that you can separate the musician from the person.
You kind of have to.
I'm not a big U2 fan, but I like listening to Bono's Politics.
Exactly.
Unlike most people who are the opposite.
Yeah.
Nice.
One of the few people who I can meld together is like Coldplay. I love Martin. His wife's hot. His music's great. There you go.
Yeah, done.
But Kanye, the 808s and Heartbreaks, the music and the sort of message that he's giving, he's pulling a Tupac. You remember how Tupac used to be...
He's dead?
No.
No, he's like Elvis. He's acting like he's dead.
Yeah.
No, but you remember how
Wait
Tupac...
Wait till I tell Tupac about
this. You know
this.
How Tupac would be like super gangster on one side, and then the very next song would be like, you know, Brenda had a baby and real socially conscious?
I do actually. That is... The absolute beginning and end of my Tupac knowledge is what you just said.
Yeah, he was like gangster plus socially conscious. Well, Kanye's pulling kind of a fast one that way on this one, where for all of the glitz and glamour, this whole album, literally start to finish, is denouncing the lifestyle he has because kind of autobiographically, he's saying all this privilege is robbing him of a normal life. It's strange, but kind of appealing to listen to.
Boo fucking who?
I know, that's what I say. That's what
Good
I was
Lord.
Saying.
Okay, speaking of Boohoo, Taboo Typeface, you got one?
Taboo Typeface.
We got asked, what happened to that when we just realized that we had just
We either forget to
do
ask
it.
When we have this, or when we have Steve back, we're like, well, we've asked Steve before. So we
yeah,
don't
actually,
ask
you know
time.
What? I haven't done a Taboo Typeface.
Yeah, do a Taboo, and then I'll do a Taboo Typeface
comes from Nate.
Damn, yeah. And actually, now I'm like, I said that, now I'm on the spot.
Okay, you think it over. I'll do an improper use of a typeface.
Okay.
That 04B... It's the typeface that's meant to be used as really small.
Okay.
Don't blow it up.
Well, I think that's
it'll
what
pixelate.
Any typeface is like that.
It's all used.
Little small.
Very, very tiny.
I'm going to throw it out there, and this one is for students, and only for students.
Ah, very good.
Futura.
Oh, good call. You
are a student. If this is true, you are overusing Futura.
Good call.
You need to move on.
And that doesn't mean to interstate.
Yeah, no. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Or universe. Like, don't move on to something that looks similar.
You can't use it again. You just want to
branch out.
Yeah.
Read some history.
Here's one.
And find typefaces.
Along with Futura, don't be afraid of the serif. Use a serif typeface.
Yeah, you use a serif typeface for a title.
There
How about
go.
You know? Let's try something crazy.
Yeah.
You know, if you Branch look through, if
I
you
can
look
guarantee
through your
you though, if you're a student right now, you're overusing Futura.
Yeah. If you look through your portfolio and you have the same, and it's not for the same company, but you have the same typeface for every single piece in your book.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You know, I know some like pretty heavy hitting graphic designers, professionals that would disagree with that statement, but they're not here, so I ain't gonna. Let's roll with this.
Yeah, I know of a time when Officina was the only thing I ever saw, and it was upsetting.
Mine in college, stone print. Ooh. I've never used it since, but it was just like, it's got small caps, and it has regular upper and lowercase. I love it. Right. And in my youth, I was like, I didn't know of any other small caps
typefaces. Or because the typeface has 80 different weights doesn't mean that you can get away with changing them and using them for
dropping
everything.
80 in your piece.
Right, like Helvetica New. I love that typeface, but just because it has a million different faces and weights, don't think we don't know.
Yeah.
We can see it.
I like it too. Let's close this up, gentlemen.
Okay.
We're running a touch long, but
and
that's
next,
no biggie.
Next show it'll be all Adam Nielsen and Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Seriously,
oh my God. Do you
maybe
think we
just
can get
those
both
two
of them?
I think you can.
Can Adam tell his Hillary Duff story? Adam.
He's got a Hillary Duff story.
Was it Mandy Moore or Hillary Duff?
It's Mandy Moore.
Okay, Adam, you're going to be on minute. And you're going to tell your Mandy Moore story. Wait. Mandy Moore. God damn it.
Come on.
I'm not paying attention to the conversation.
I so hope it's Hillary Duff.
No, I know it is. It's Mandy Moore.
Oh,
We'll have him tell that story. So, Adam, you're booked because he's the only guy that I know that actually listens. And thank you for listening.
He's the only one that admits to
listening. Two things. Send us your submissions for the holiday design review by commenting anywhere on 36 Point.
Find
the oldest entry and comment there. We'll see it.
Do it.
And then also, do not forget, starting December 8th through January 12th, to vote for Donovan and Nicole's Chip Kid.
Or we will spam you.
Do it.
Yeah. Peace out. To send questions or comments to the Reflex Blue Show, please visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show is hosted by Nate Voss and Donovan Beery, music produced by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.